Australia's national power grid is facing a decade of unreliability, with blackouts potentially kicking in as early as this summer. That's the gloomy outlook being delivered this morning by the Australian Energy Market Operator. It's warning demands on the energy grid will grow at the same time coal-fired power stations deteriorate and approach decommissioning. Victoria and South Australia will be the most vulnerable states. To discuss this further, I'm joined by Tim Buckley, the director of the independent public interest think tank Climate Energy Finance. Tim, as of last year, we still got 47% of our electricity from coal. This new outlook reminds us that around about 62% of coal generators are expected to close between now and 2033. But we don't seem to have the renewable sources nor the necessary transmission infrastructure for renewable resources to have them ready to replace coal. What do we need to do?
Yes, good morning, Brendan. It's we need to actually act. We need the governments to work together and to get approvals of key new projects that are in the pipeline, delivered and to funding and then through construction and put online. At the end of the day, as you say, the key aspect of AEMO's new report, 62% of our coal generators will be closing this decade. They also have changed their reliability assessment of coal, acknowledging that coal plants at the end of their life are increasingly unreliable. And so they've really dramatically changed their thinking about the lack of reliability for coal and hence the need for alternative solutions to be deployed at speed and scale. But there is also one really massive number in there. The AEMO, the Australian Energy Market Operator, highlights that there's a massive 248 gigawatts of renewable storage and transmission proposals in the investor pipeline right now. We just need to get a 10th or a 20th of those projects approved and in construction.
Can we be sure, though, that these renewable projects will actually materialise?
Well, yes. Yeah, I'm absolutely certain they will. Investors are queued up. When we talk about 248 gigawatts, we're talking about $300 or $400 billion of investment. Investors are investing every single day. They're building capacity. They're good to go. But what they can't do is get around the lack of grid access, details and knowledge, and they can't expedite the approval process. At the end of the day, that's where our state governments need to work with the federal government and accelerate the approvals of key infill projects that can be delivered on a 1 or 2 year view or a 3 year view so that we can actually make sure the grid stays reliable.
Yeah, AEMO, who released this outlook, says there is a hesitancy among renewable energy developers to commit to projects because of uncertainty around the transmission infrastructure. Think about 10,000 kilometres of new lines must be built before 2030, but the development is being hampered by funding constraints and community opposition. I guess, how do we solve this problem? Because many people don't want massive power lines and wind towers looming over their homes and farms.
Brendan, that is absolutely right. We are seeing a community backlash. Grid access and community opposition are the two biggest things developers cite to me every single day about why they are unable to get their projects up and running. It's not their lack of intent to invest. It's not the availability of capacity or money. It is entirely about the community acceptance. So it's got to be sold as this is a necessary transition. The coal plants that we've relied on for 40 and 50 years are at the end of the life. The fact that we didn't get moving a decade ago, well, that's spilt milk. We now have governments aligned federally and state that want to solve the problem. We need to actually have the right story so that people aren't just fearful of not in my backyard. They have to see that there's a bigger picture here. At the end of the day, we've got a biodiversity crisis. We've got an energy crisis. We've got a climate crisis. We need to see the governments actually act on them. They're all now saying they want to do that, and so we need to see it. But also, as you said, big transmission projects need to be sold appropriately. Communities need to be compensated appropriately. And in the meantime, like, it will take 5 to 10 years to build massive grid transmission lines. What we do have is a world-leading deployment of distributed energy resources, namely rooftop solar. Now, we also have the ability to deploy behind-the-meter batteries and community batteries in the space of days and weeks. For community batteries, maybe months. It might take you a month to build one. But that's not 2 years. That's not 3 years. So AEMO says that there is no grid reliability problem if the governments act with speed and get approvals through. And if we can orchestrate all of the rooftop solar or some of the rooftop solar and some of the behind the meter batteries and get two-way charging of our electric vehicles and then get our retailers to actually be able to orchestrate them so that they can tap in and pay consumers to actually turn down their solar or access their behind the meter battery and do it in an orchestrated way. So AEMO says there's no reliability problem. So I would finish by saying, with the deployment of this new capacity, every single consumer in New South Wales across the national electricity market can expect lower retail electricity prices next year if we get the government approvals that we need expedited. We don't need $300 billion of approval, but getting $10 or $20 billion of projects across the national electricity market and then infilling with distributed energy and using the smarts and the existing grid and maximising the value from the tens of billions we've invested in the grid over the last decade. It's called infill utility scale capacity. Complement that with distributed energy and the lights will definitely stay on.
Tim, appreciate your time and insights today on ABC News Radio.
Brilliant. Thanks, Brendan.
That's Tim Buckley, the director of the independent public interest think tank Climate Energy Finance.